Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Big welcome to if you're visiting with us. It's lovely to have some unfamiliar faces with us this morning. Thank you for coming and celebrating Christmas here. And I hope it is a celebration. I've got a couple of announcements just before we read the Bible. We hear God's word for the day. Just a couple of things. Big welcome to you if you are visiting with us. That's the first thing. Welcome. It's lovely to have some new people here. If you have nowhere else you'd like to be this afternoon, the Herberts, who are sitting up in the balcony there, they can give us a wave. Want to invite you over to their place for a party. So if you'd like to go and have lunch with them, connect with them after the service. I'd love for anyone who wants to come and hang out with them for the afternoon. You're most welcome to do that. The other thing is just a note about church tomorrow. So normally, obviously, we'd be here on a Sunday morning, but we thought the day after Christmas we might do something a little bit different as we're all used to Zoom. We're going to have our end-of-year Thanksgiving service. What we do in the last Sunday of the year here at Dixon Baptist is just take a bit of time to look back over the last 12 months and give thanks to God for all the ways that he's sort of been at work among us over the last 12 months. Now, we're going to do that on Zoom. So there's a link on the Dixon Baptist website if you'd like to kind of do that. Regular time, 9:30, click on the link and we'll kind of connect over Zoom, have a bit of a talk about all the ways that God has blessed us and been at work among us over the last 12 months, and we'll pray together. So we will be worshiping together, but just on Zoom at 9:30 tomorrow. So please don't kind of come here or you'll be by yourself. The other thing that we do at Christmas is we take up an offering for Baptist World Aid. Now, Baptist World Aid is a great organization. They support people all around the world, the weak and the vulnerable, working to alleviate poverty and help people kind of build healthy, sustainable lives. It's a great cause and a wonderful chance to be generous this Christmas. So if you want to make an offering this morning, all of the money from this morning will be going to Baptist World Aid. You can give, there's a yellow box on the table there if you'd like to give in cash. Or again, on the Dixon Baptist website, there's a link to the Baptist World Aid donations page. So you can click on that and make a donation. I'd just love to encourage you to be generous, particularly to those who are weak and vulnerable and in need around the world. There's so much that we have that we take for granted that other people around the world don't have and really need. And so Christmas is a great chance to remember and be generous and to honour the Lord who came into the world bringing good news for the weak and the poor. Let's open up to Luke chapter 2. If you've got a Bible or a device, we're going to read from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Would you pray with me? Lord, on that very first Christmas, those shepherds were witness to glorious good news, an announcement of great joy and peace for the whole world. And I pray, Lord, as we look at your word today, would you give us ears to hear that same good news, that same great joy, that same gospel word that is love and joy and peace for the whole world. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, the birth of a king is always big news. It's always a big news when royals are born. You know, there's going to be headlines. It's going to be announced with royal decrees and proclamations, trumpet fanfare with crowds watching on, beamed around the world to the furthest corners of the realm. The birth of a king is always big news. Over the last month at DBC, as Lynn was saying, we've been doing a sermon series called Angels We Have Heard on High. And today we're looking at what the angels say at the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. At Christmas, we hear of the birth of a great king announced with great fanfare, but he is a king like no other king, a king like no other. Our passage today begins with a royal proclamation, reading from the start of Luke 2 again. Luke chapter 2, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Caesar Augustus was the Roman emperor that had united the Roman Empire and became the ruler of the known world. His empire spanned continents and countries and cultures. Through military power, he had wrested the empire from his rivals, and he brought a measure of peace to the entire Roman world. And the decrees goes out for this empire-wide census. Each went to their own town to register in the place where their ancestors had been. Now, Luke places these events for us firmly in history. He places them firmly in geography, but he does something else as well. Luke shows us what a king who ruled an empire could do, the power that an emperor held. From Rome, the decree goes out, and in the furthest backwater of first century Palestine, his subjects obey. Mary and Joseph pick up and travel to Bethlehem so that Joseph could be registered in the town of Bethlehem. The town of his ancestor, the great King David, who had ruled his own empire 1,000 years before. When Luke records the details of the birth of Jesus, it's remarkably simple. It's remarkably sparse. There's not a lot of detail. Looking at verse 6. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Given the significance of this child, it's a remarkably brief, remarkably common birth. A remarkably simple account. What a way for God's Son to come into the world. If that was all there was to the story, we would have forgotten it centuries ago. But this child is born to a peasant couple far away from home and laid in a feeding trough. Such a simple birth for the Son of God. Where is the honor that we expect of a royal birth? This week I looked up the list of titles and honours of Prince Charles. Prince Charles, you ready for this? This is his official name and title, okay? Take a deep breath. His Royal Highness the Prince Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of Wales, Duke of Cornwall, Duke of Rothesay, Duke of Edinburgh, Duke of Chester, Earl of Carrick, Earl of Merioneth, Baron of Renfrew, Baron Greenwich, Lord of the Isles, Prince and Great Steward of Scotland, KG, KT, GCB, OM, AK, QSO, CC, PC, ADC. Now, I'm not sure what all those letters at the end mean, but if you allowed names in Scrabble, he would get a winning score. All these honours, all these titles that were bestowed upon Prince Charles just by virtue of his birth, bestowed upon him as the birth of the future king of the British Empire. With the simplicity and the obscurity of Jesus' birth, you might wonder about the significance of this child. What is the significance of this child? Where is the royal fanfare? Where is the royal decree? Well, heaven does not disappoint. Heaven certainly makes a fanfare. The angels announce the birth with all the splendor, all the glory of heaven. Reading from verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" The angel appears with all the glory of God and makes the royal decree. And the angel declares who this child is, stacking up titles like any royal. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. The child sent from heaven to rescue his people. For those longing for a Savior from their sin, someone to come and rescue them from their sin. He is the one, the Savior sent from heaven. He's the Messiah, that great promised King, born in the town of David, born of the line of David, King that ancient Israel longed for, and the one who threw open the door so that all the nations could share in their divine inheritance. He is the Lord, the one who rules supremely as Lord and God with all power, with all authority, the one who reigns eternally as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the one that the angels announce. The royal Son of Heaven is announced with angelic proclamation, and the hosts of heaven come with all the splendor of God to announce the birth of the Son of God. They declare him the Savior. They declare him the Messiah. They declare him the Lord. And as they appear in glory, they announce it to the shepherds. Wait, what? Shepherds? No, hang on. What did you say, shepherds? No. This is an angelic announcement of the birth of the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And they announce it to shepherds out in the field looking after sheep. No. This is the birth of a king. This is the birth of a king. This would be a bit. There should be a big royal guest list, and shepherds are not on big royal guest. That's not how it works. There is a lot of important people who need to hear this announcement. This is a long, long way from Caesar Augustus sitting on his throne in Rome. This is a long way from the governor Quirinius, who oversees the region. King Herod would probably be really interested to know if there was another Jewish king that was born. And you're telling shepherds, what happened? Like, was Michael holding the map upside down? Did Michael put the wrong address into the GPS? All the angelic fanfare for shepherds in the fields. No, it isn't a mistake. It's not a mistake. After all, if you're looking for a baby lying in a manger, lying in a feeding trough, a shepherd's probably a good bet. If you wanted to find a pea under a stack of mattresses, maybe then you want to go to a princess. But a baby in a manger? Well, go to someone who knows mangers. Here's the wonder of it. This Jesus, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords is an utterly different kind of king. A Savior, a Messiah, a Lord like no other. What do you know? What do you know about King David, Israel's greatest king? What do you know about him? When King David became king, God sent the prophet Samuel to a household of Jesse in Bethlehem. And the prophet knew, he was told by God, that one of Jesse's sons would be the king, God's anointed king. And so Jesse gets out his sons, lines them up, seven strapping lads, and God says no to all of them, all seven. The prophet goes down the line, no, 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 not him, no, not that one, no, he's not the one. And eventually the prophet asks, it's none of these. Is there no other son? And Jesse says, well, there is still the youngest. He's out tending the sheep. A shepherd out in the fields watching the sheep, anointed as the king of God's people. Why? Why? Because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And now God's own son is born. Born in the town of David, born of the line of David, and announced in the very fields where David watched his sheep. Jesus is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord like no other. When Jesus grew up, he was challenged about who he was, what he was doing. And he said this. This was what Jesus said about himself. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus said about himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Can I tell you something? I grew up in a country town around sheep farms. I don't know a single farmer who would sacrifice their life for a sheep. Just think about that for a second. Do you know anything about farms, sheep farms, farmers? I don't know a single farmer who would sacrifice their life to save a sheep. It wouldn't happen. But Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, he did. He sacrificed his life to save us. He died for you, he died for me, so that he could save us. This is the kind of Savior that he is. Our sin was a death sentence hanging around our necks, and he came and he took it on himself and died so that we might be saved. He gave up his life so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could share in the kingdom of this Lord and King. That is a long, long way from Caesar Augustus. That's a long way from the governors and the kings that we know. He is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the Good Shepherd who laid down his life so that we might have eternal life. And that's what the angelic hosts sing in symphony to a band of shepherds on a Bethlehem hillside. Look at verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the royal decree, and it is the royal invitation. Christmas is about the birth of heaven's King, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. He has come, and because he has come, there is peace with God. To anyone who will accept him as their Savior, their Messiah, their Lord, there is peace with God. Now, there is so much more to say. We could go on and on. But if you want to explore it further, wherever you come from, wherever you're at, I'd encourage you to connect with a local church to find out more. Explore a bit further. But for now, I'm going to finish and I'm going to pray a prayer accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord. If you want to accept him, you can pray along with me. You can begin that relationship today, but I'd encourage you to connect with a local church and explore it further. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your birth, that wondrous birth, so simple, so common, so sparse, so humble. And yet this is how God's Lord, Savior, Messiah came into the world. Lord, we thank you that you gave up all the glories of heaven to come and be our Savior, to come and be our King. Lord, we thank you that you came and laid down your life for us so that we might be free from sin and have a place in your kingdom. Lord, we are sorry. Sorry for all the ways we've tried to be our own Savior, tried to rescue ourselves in our own efforts, tried to be our own Lord, running and ruling our own life and rejecting God in the process. But we're sorry. Would you please forgive us for your sake? Would you forgive us? Give us a share in that glorious salvation for which you died. Forgive us and give us a new life with you. Lord, you are a King like no other, all glory, power, and authority, and yet so full of tenderness and love and grace and mercy. A shepherd who would even lay down his life for his sheep. Lord, we worship you. We rejoice in you. We honor you this day, Christmas Day, and every day. Pray this in Jesus' name. All glory to him. Amen.